Bezer Hashem, the first thing I'd like to do today is advance an idea that we presented as we were making a good laning on the Gemara Rashi and putting together a couple of pieces. I'd like to advance that idea, Bezer Hashem, a little bit more in the Mineu Bay of the Gemara as understood by the Tumas Hadeshen, and thereby we could respond to something that the great Stipler Gaon had said. To summarize what we had seen, what we had suggested last time, and now I want to show you this idea inside in the Trumas Hadeshen, we suggested that the approach that we had seen within Shitas Rashi on Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, and Lamed Ches is all connected. That Rashi on, and Lamed Ches on the days, both Amar Alf and Amar Beis, that Rashi says in the Ramaskal Zeya Ba'almahu, Ve'eno Pri Levarich Alav Bar Priya Eitz. Rashi emphasizes that when the juice ebbs out from the fruit, so then in such a case, it's not considered a fruit. And therefore, it doesn't get a bracha bar priya eitz. Now, let's take a look at the Trumas Hadeshen that deduces this. We've mentioned this Trumas Hadeshen before, but now let's finally see it inside, and let's put a few pieces together that we never did. In Sheila Chavtes, the Trumas Hadeshen is the one, he's the first makar that discusses the applesauce shayla. Here, there are a few more. One more.
Where are they being passed around?
Could be they got stuck somewhere.
I sent it over there.
Anybody have more Trumas Hadeshens? So Trumas Hadeshen, Chavtes, speaks about the first case that we have the applesauce shayla. I don't know exactly what these were, but Litvriga, Sheosim Mugdoginios, Shekorin Veichshlin, Shemavashlinos, and there they cooked them. So these are these fruits that have been cooked and mixed with some type of sugar. What type of bracha is it going to get? Says the great Trumas Hadeshen, the Rebbe of the Rama, and of course this finds its way into the Rama. Don't know what those are exactly either. What does it mean, kemo humlasa? I humlasa gets a bar priya eitz. The answer is that the humlasa grew in the tree. The besamim grow from the ground. But at the end of the day, he argues it's going to get its original bracha, and the fact that you juice it up is not going to change. Hakamon, the afal gav de pri nischak vini muach dak dak, one would say that even if the fruit is ground down, akati b'milsakai, it's still in its original state. Amnam ki daikinam b'pirish Rashi by hider trima may mevarchel av b'pirish Rashi sham hakotush ma'ad ve'inam arasul kainu trima. So that's our Rashi. Our Rashi in the Gemara that you saw in the morning, trima mal mevarchel av v'sham v'shem trima kol dover hakotush k'tzas ve'inam arusach. If it's cut down a little, if it's ground down a little, but it's not entirely mashed. V'amevin yavin, I'll just give you a reference, the Chazon Ish is more machmir on risuk in Hilchos Shabbos, mashing, than he is for grinding. So for example, there's a heter, a Trumas Hadeshen actually, there's a heter that says that you're allowed to grind and do the altar on Shabbos. That's a Rajba, Chuvas HaRajba. Shuvas HaRajba says that you're allowed to grind and have the heter of the altar. Chazon Ish writes, if you're merasik, you don't have this heter. What am I bringing out? I'm bringing out that the Chazon Ish already developed the idea that there's a chiluk between risuk, something that's entirely mashed, versus tochen, although there it goes in the opposite direction. There the Chazon Ish says that by risuk you have to be more machmer. But here also, here we have something that's kotush ma'at, ve'ino merusuk, and it's not entirely, they're not entirely matched. Tainu trima. Upashed hasa mehadet marim shel truma mutla asosan truma alma bekai gavna mebalsayu kaimi hatmarim umevarchen alav bar priya eitz v'chein digdik ba'ashiri katan ba'hidet truma. Says the Trumas Hadeshen, also if you look at Dagos Ashri, he also, when he describes truma, he describes it in the following way: tmarim avdinu truma pirsh merusakim ma'at mevarchen alav bar priya eitz mashma diavim merusakim harbe mevarchen alav Aleyen sha'akol niya bedvarim shum delav milsayu kaimi. It's not considered bimilsayu. V'imkein kol shekein, these things shehein nimukin legamri v'gamu rav misamud vash nafik bimulsayu. So he says the same thing on these things as well. I think that's going to get bar pri adama. Hence, we had the shita or shahakol. Hence, that's a machlokas between the Bach and others. Hence, we had the shita of the Ramah, which we don't pass in, like in Shulchan Aruch, following up on the Turmas Hadeshen, that says that if something is entirely knocked down, even if it still has the shame of that original fruit, it has some type of mamoshos, once it's merusak, it's entirely ground, the halacha is that it's going to get a shehakel. Now, the Turmas Hadeshen, let's just finish off so as to concretize these halachas. We're at the end of the Zman. So let's just make sure we have everything that's put together now, also la halacha, and see the Turmas Hadeshen discuss something that we discussed before as well. He then asks on himself, but wait a second, how are we going to reconcile this Rashi that says that if you have something that's entirely ground down, the bracha is going to be a shehakol, if at the end of the day, we see that the halacha is not that way by besamim? So those of you who recall, we did this also both in Halacha Shir as well as in Rabbeinu Yonah earlier. So Turmas Hadeshen himself also asks it. And he's skipping a line. Vim kein, hainu ahi dipsam dipschukim. First one in line is schukim. The kas of ma'aram. What are you going to do about the mashed besamim? How do we paskin la halacha? If you take a look in Reish Dalid, we paskin that ground down besamim, that halacha is that it gets a bar pri adama. But wait a second, it's entirely ground down and juiced up. It's so normal to do it in such a way. This is how people are nene from besamim. When they make a bar mine besamim, then they're nene from it be'en. But if they're eating it, no one eats the cloves as is. They grind them down. So says the Turmas Hadeshen, what emerges from the Turmas Hadeshen is that it depends when it comes to ground down. If it's something that the entire way it's eaten is ground down, so then you don't eat Suras HaPri. Seems like the Turmas Hadeshen will assume that Rashi agrees with this because he's talking as well, but that's Rashi. He built his whole case within Rashi. But if you have something that's normally ground down, so then, in such a case, then you don't need Suras HaPri. You need Suras HaPri only when it's not entirely normal for it to ground down. But if the whole pri is grown in such a manner, so then in such a case, then it's going to get that bracha. Now that absolutely fits in beautifully with expressions of Rashi as well on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, as well as Rashi on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Rashi on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, when it comes to shlokos, Rashi says v'chol yerek shein dark le'echol chai shemitchilasom shloko. Next Rashi ve'viu l'derech achilaso hu ikar pirya. That is the ikar pri. Now it could very well be that the vegetable will decompose. It could very well be that the vegetable decomposes. So how can you call it ikar pri? Would Rashi say that the case of shlokos, it decomposes less than the case of which you're merasik it? Maybe not. It could very well be that it decomposes. However, nevertheless, it gets that same bracha. Why is it going to get that same bracha? Because that's the ikar pri. Hence, that fits in beautifully with Turmas Hadeshen. And that's what Rashi also said on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Rashi said, when we discussed Yatza Liluya Achrina, Rashi says, Hilcha Yatza Michlal Pri. The ikar pri lekachna tuhu. You have this concept of the ikar pri being grown for that purpose. So this is the idea of Shitas Rashi that we had earlier. Okay, if that's so, imkeinim advarim, if that is the position that we have of Rashi based on the Turmas Hadeshen, I'd like to go and take a look at a question that the Stipler asks. We photocopied the Stipler, right? The Stipler asks that he's very much bothered by this Rashi. Let's take a look and see what the Stipler is bothered by. In Simen Lamed Gimel, the Stipler asks, in Simen Chof Gimel. Oh, in the new edition, it's a different Simen Chof Aleph. So the Stipler asks in Simen Chof Aleph, he goes through our sugi. We're gonna take a look at the things that the Stipler develops. So let's take a look in Simen Chof Gimel. Let's see him quote. He quotes the whole Rashi in the Turmas Hadeshen. So let's just rip through it. B'shulchan Aruch Simen Reish Beis. Let's start from the beginning. Siv Zayin. Pasak the Tamarim Shemiyachan Biyad Vasim Enisa Filo Hachilo Mishdanis Berchasam Umavarech Lam Bara Priyeitz V'ulashen Rambam Umikoro Bebrachas Daf Lameches. So we paskin the maskin and tamri vasan treatment varch lam bar priates my time of milsa kaimi. As long as it's bimilsa kaimi, then it gets a bracha. Umiloshin zesh a kasa vasamehim isa mashma shafilin is raskin lagamri berchasan bar priates. And then he quotes the Ramah, the kasa Ramah, the esham the varch lam shahakla vahume trumas hadesh and simin chavtes. Shemidayik beloshin rashi, shakasa misras lagamri varch shahakla with pirish truma called over kadush ksas. By the way, what we did not mention is that the Taz disagrees with his diuk in Rashi. The Taz says, come on, you're going to build a whole shita because Rashi said katush ktsas, and you're going to be medayik. But if it's katush lagamri, then the halacha is not going to be that way. Or that itself is a little bit of a leap, claims the Trumas Hadeshim. But Tzarech Yun, now he asks the following kasha. Asks the stipler the following question on Rashi. If the Trumas Hadeshin is right according to Shitas Rashi, so then why is it that Rashi has the Svara of Zeya Ba'alma? Why does the Gemara say Zeya Ba'alma? Just say, asks the stipler, that it's not in its original state of a pre. Once it's in its original state of the pre, so then according to Rashi, even if it's ground a little, what bracha does it get according to Trumas Hadeshin B'das Rashi? What bracha? What bracha? Shehakol. So if that's so then why does the Gemara need to say Zeya Ba'alma? This is the stipler's kasha. Everybody with me? Sender? Good? You hear? Eitan? Good? Beautiful. So look at what the stipler's machadish. The stipler has interesting terutz. And I thought that we don't have to say what the going through the hoops that the stipler goes through. But let's take a look and see how the stipler is miyashiv. V'nira adare ikar atam. Second paragraph. D'minisasek l'gamni mafsid berchoso ha'protis barach pira eitz. U'mavarach shakul l'chor l'fishin ishtana mibriyasa v'lola iluya. We know that there's a concept that if it changes from its original state and doesn't get better, so then in such a case, then the bracha is a shahakal. Ulefi ze yesh lomar. Stipler wants to say like this. Dezeu dafka b'merase guf ha-pri. Maybe the reason why the Trumas Hadeshin says that the halacha is that only gets a shahakal is because you smash the actual pri. Devadai nishanu hu mibriyaso. So then it's certainly changed. So then in such a case, what bracha is it going to get? It's going to get a shakla, and it's not an iluya, you're not going up, right? When it came to the wheat stalk, only when it goes up is the bracha going to go up. But if you leave it in kimcha, we learned in the Gemara, then it's not nishtana ilusa, so then in such a case it goes down. Continues the stipler. He tells us an interesting yediyah. This is a fascinating Gemara. I just want to throw it in for the Talmidim, because you should really process this Gemara. We didn't put it on the Mar Mekomos. But see how the stiper uses the Gemara, and then try to think about it yourselves. Avomei peiros l'man d'amar ribsachem daflami gimel mashkin mifkad pocket. The stipler mentions that you look up the Gemara, look up the nafkaminas, that there are two ways to understand. The Gemara Mamish has the following chakira. It says, how do you look at juice? Do you look at juice as being entirely assimilated into the pre itself, as being part and parcel of the fruit? Or do you look at it as mifkad pocket, as being encased in the fruit, but it's a separate entity? Is it mifkat pakid, or is it looked at muvla? That's a beferish gemara daf lamigimel. So says the stipler like this: if you say mifkat pakid, so then you're saying that's a separate entity. Im kain hani me peros lo nishtanu klal mibriyason. So then, when you smash it, it doesn't change from its original creation. Sheikur b'yasan humayim. Elashem mifka pocket. It's trapped. It's trapped in another body. But really, it's a separate entity. Ulefize b'mei peros. Lekol mei mer sheyafsidu merchas na'apratis machma shenishtanu. U'mishumachi utzrachnu l'tam nezeir ba'alma. And that's why you need a dam nezeir ba'alma. Because what was the vort when it comes to misrasek? The vort by misrasek is that since it's misrasek, so then it went down. If it went down, it needs to have a shinu yiluya. And the trumas hadesh is mechadesh based on Rashi that going down means to have smashed it. Once he smashed it, that's enough. Then he asks for maya de silka. What? But when it comes to mei peros is mifkat pakid. If it's mifkat pakid, then I would have had a havamina. Says the stipler, I would have had a havamina. Then in such a case, then you should say that it retains its original bracha, hence the klal of Zeya Ba'alma. Okay, Rabosai, this is sharp and interesting. I thought that based on all of our Rashis, Rashi on Anavava Manal, Rashi on Rashi on Anavava Manal, Dimar Maskulekale Luya Achrina, Rashi on Lamechesa Manal, Dibar Maschil Trima, as deduced from the Truma Sadeshin. Rashi on Lamechesa on the base. Dibar Maschil V'chol. I think there are a few more Rashis you might even be missing. If you put all those Rashis together, I don't think you need to answer Dafka to say it's going according to Man Damar Mifkat Pakid and say the Stipler's fancy pshat. The Stipler's pshat is fancy. I think it goes like this. I think learn up the Sugya the way we had learned the sugya originally as inspired by the Nitziv. And that is, the Gemara is giving us two paradigms of something that's not called a pri. And that's why Rashi goes out of his way to say, Zeya ba'almahu, ve'eino pri. That's what the Gemara is being mechadesh when it says, Zeya ba'almah, it's not a pri. And that's why the Gemara continues on and says, Amaleya humer rabban l'rava trima mahu. That's exactly what the Gemara is bringing out. The first stage of the Gemara is pointing out that you have Zeya Ba'alma that's not a pri. Then the Gemara goes and it progresses. And the Gemara says, what's with Trima? What's the Gemara's question, what's with Trima? Zeya Ba'alma, it's just a sweat, it's not considered a pri. But what happens if you still have a little bit of mamashos? Oh, so then the Gemara comes along and the Gemara says that in such a case, the halachi is that once it's katush legamri, according to Rashi, it's not considered the pri. Not only is the sweat of the pri not considered the pri, but even if you smash it, it's not considered the pri. So you don't need the stipler, kvod taraso b'mkom amunach, the stipler's too fancy. Once you really, really read up all the Gemara Rashis together, you could say a lot simpler. You say a lot simpler. That's what Rashi is emphasizing when Rashi uses the words Eino Pri. So the Chura, everything really, really fits in beautifully. Now, let's make a good leaning on the Ra'ah and the Ritva. Let's take a look and see. Tell me, do you have a Ritva here? I prefer first to start with Ritva. Yes,
seven. That's another Ritva.
Exactly. That's what Rashi is saying. Now, could be that is the yisod of Zeya Ba'alma. In other words, it could be Zeya Ba'alma means pshuto kimashmo. But for our purposes in Hilchas Brachos, Zeya Ba'alma means that's not a pri. What's going to be the halacha, tam kikr, v'chule, that yesh ladum. But you don't need to be mechadesh. You don't need to be mechadesh what the stipler is saying to say mifkat pocket. This is the whole theme of what we're struggling, aliba de Rashi, is whether it's considered a pri or not. And just to add, and then to add. And therefore, according to the Trumas Hadeshen, if the pri's entire tafkid is lakach netu, which Rashi himself, I think the Trumas Hadeshen was working with all the Rashis, where the Trumas Hadeshen says lakach netu on daf lamid vav amid aleph, Rashi says, where does Rashi say lakach netu? Yeah, Rashi and daf lamid vav amid aleph, he'll, unless leiluya achrina. And Rashi, I'll take your objection in a second. And Rashi by Shloko, L'derech Achilaso, Hu Ikar HaPri. That's all, again, I'm working post facto with the Trumas Hadeshen,
But still, I think it works absolutely beautifully, and you don't need to get involved in Mifka Pocket. Zeya Ba'alma is just a description of it not being considered a pre. I think that's going to work. Aliba de Rashi, yes.
I think that's one of the ways we understood Rashi, that Lekachin 2 is saying that even it's another way, you don't need Surah Supri if it's Lekachin 2.
Exactly. So that fits in beautifully with the Sefer, the Trumas HaDeshen. It's Mamish Misameach. Mamish Misameach. Lenia's that day, I think it works absolutely beautiful. Read over all the Rashis, I think, and that's why the Taz comes along and he says to Trumas HaDeshen, it's not Mukhruch what you're saying. At the end of the day, who says that you could be medayik when Rashi says that it's not? It's katush ksas. So the answer is einachinami. From the one diuk in Rashi, then maybe yesh lefakpe. But if you put all the Rashis together, absolutely everything it works 100% beautifully, and you don't need the shtickle Torah of the stipulus. This is a great example of doing what they like, what we call the Nachlas David style of just putting together all the Rishon's mahalach once in sugya. And who is the one who lit us up for it? It was the Netziv. That was the Netziv's derech. Not with fancy harifus. Netziv's derech was to be medayik a lot on the page straight. So maybe this will be miyashe bezor Hashem the stipus kasha. I thought, and I don't necessarily mean to be tolit hainu hach, but l'chura, what we're saying fits in absolutely beautifully in both what the Ra'a and the Ritva say. The two friends, the Ra'a and the Ritva, both say the same thing. I have the Ra'a right now in front of me, so I'll read it to you, Be'ezer Hashem, from the Ra'a, but it's also in the Ritva. Different layout than I have at home. Sometimes I'm used to looking at this, sometimes I'm looking at that. Yeah.
Va'amar ma'abar of Ashi, duvsha the time of Archina le shahakal, my time is there ba'ama. Pirish, the rebusa naka, duvsha the tamri, da filu hai de nisher hapri adayin kayam, lo amrina da hai de parish mine. We don't say that even if the pri is in existence, la havakim itzaso shall pri. So since it comes from the pre, and the pre itself is kayam, v'livarach bar priyetz. V'kol shekein mashka yotze min ha-pri, v'nishar ha-usha'ar ha-pri nifsad, probably you should read, right? Certainly if the pre doesn't exist. D'lo choshuv mashka yotze menu kemosa. We don't consider the juice that comes out of it itself. V'im v'archin olav ela sha'akol. The mashke doesn't have that bracha because the guf is not kayim. Elohim kein ribo sa akasa beferish, unless you have exeris akasa.
Then continues the ra'ah. In Dibra Maskel, my time of Emilsayu time, he's skipping down. He writes, Pirush v'shamina mina, the taima mishum de Emilsayu kimei kara. Hanisrasku legamri achavut zulasan lo. Ve'ein mevarchan alav elo shahakul psovalo klum. If something's entirely crushed down, so then in such a case it doesn't get a bar priyetz. Continues the Ra'a. This is the punchline that I want to bring out. Vizu binyan av lemashkin hayotzim in aperos. And this is the binyan av for mashkin hayotzim in aperos. Says the Ra'ah that the mekar, now it happens to be that Vamevin Yavin, the Ra'ah is saying a little different than the Trumas HaDeshen, Vamevin Yavin, but that doesn't bother me. I'm not claiming the exact same shita. But what did the Ra'ah say? The Ra'ah says that the halacha of Trima becomes the binyanav, it becomes the formulating line also for meperos. Why? He says, because that if it's detached from the fruit, and that there's no Tsuras hapri over here. So just like there's no tsuras hapri when it comes to mashing the fruit, so too there's no tsuras hapri when it comes to meperos. Now once you say that, then the stipulous question falls away. The Gemara, when it brings out meperos zeya ba'alma, what the Gemara is gufa doing is showing that doesn't have tsuras hapri. So that's black on white, and the Ra'an, the Ritva also uses the exact same lashon, that it's a binyan ah for meperos. In other words, the idea is that once the fruit is normally eaten in a different way, if it loses the tzuras hapri, that doesn't get the bracha. That's all the Gemara is saying in meperos. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying, zeya ba'alma. Absolutely beautiful. And that's how we had originally read the Rashi when the Rashi says ve'eno pri. That's what Rashi's bringing out when he says ve'eno pri. So the stipler, you don't need the stipler's vart. You could ask the kasha, why do you need it at the end of the day, say that's not the pri? Hagufa, that's good for what the Gemara is being mechadesh in the Hemshech HaGemara. And it fits in beautifully according to the Ra'ah and the Ritva. Okay. That Be'ezer Hashem is step number one. The Talmidim were pounding the Tosos in Psachim on Daf Chav Dalid, where Tosos asks a very, very basic question. The Gemara over there, first let's make sure we have the Gemara clear. In regards to Arla, the Gemara says that there isn't an Isser of Arla, at least to the point that the Gemara says that you don't get Malkus when you have Meperos. Why? Because Meperos is considered Zeya Ba'alma. Now Tosis asks a great kasha. Tosis asks, in Dibra Maskel Elohacha, Tosis asks, Tema, Amai Omer de Zeya Ba'alma, Va'atam ki ikur d'oraisa. Says Tosos, at the end of the day, what about the vart of tam ki ikur? At the end of the day, the tam is still the ikur. What does Tosos mean? So, just a very basic background. In the Perek of Kol Shah, the Gemara here has the source earlier on. The Gemara is the source of tam ki ikur. The Gemara says one of the basic makaros is by Nazir, that the halacha is that from the pasuk of Mishras HaNavim, we learn out that if a Nazir dips a piece of bread into wine, so once the bread has the time of wine, it's going to be Asur Min HaTorah for him to have it. So Tosis, the logic behind Tosis's question is the following. If at the end of the day we say that when it comes to Nazir, that Tam Ki Iker, so then certainly when it comes from the fruit itself, then certainly we should say Tam Ki Iker. That's Tosis's question. If the wine gives off taste into the bread, that's enough to be mechayiv you. So too over here, that should be enough to be mechayiv you as well. So this is a great kasha that Tosis asks. At first glance, it seems to be a very, very powerful question. So, if I recall correctly, when we learned the sugya in Psachim, Rabbi Braunschweigel suggested, and I saw also that they quote this in the name of the Rashash. The Rashash is actually not in Psachim, but he's in Arla. A very simple answer to Tosis's question is that you could plug in the Rush that we saw. According to the Rush that we saw, the Tosis's question at first glance falls away. Now, I don't know if I understand the Rush entirely, but objectively, the Rush's Yesod seems to be operative over here. The Rush says beferish, lefi shemashke ein lo tam hapri. The Rush by us had, again, let's remind ourselves from before Tisha B'Av, we had seen that everybody asks, what's the difference between cooking where you cook a fruit? In such a case, then the bracha is going to be a bar pri ha'adama. Yet, if you squeeze it out, so then we say meperos zeya ba'alma. So the Rush gives an answer that we still need to spend probably one more day understanding, but the words, we know what the words of the Rush are. And the Rush says that when you use heat, so then in such a case, then it gives off tam, and then in such a case, for vegetables, the Gemara says it gets a bar priya dama. And the Rush then goes on and says that if you cook fruits, then in such a case, it's going to be a bar priya eitz. However, when it comes to meperos, so meperos is schita ba'alma. If meperos is schita ba'alma, the Rush's words are beferish, fishemashka ein lo tam pri. The mashka doesn't have the tam pri. So if one is going to try to defy reality and use the Rush's idea and say that mashka ein lo tam pri, so then in such a case, then one could answer Tosis's kasha. And one could say
that in such a case we don't say tam ki ikur is min haTorah because there isn't real tam in the pri. And this is the idea that the Rashash says. So, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Braunschweig also said that it's mafurish in the Rush this idea at first glance. What does the Rush say in Pesachim? Let's just take a look. Oh, I had a Rush in Pesachim over there. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Sender. Mishra says when you if a nazir has anything that has the tam of the wine.
The bread was inside, so the
yeah,
wine
yeah, right,
the
right, right, right. Nachon, there you didn't heat up, and still manages. No, but the yayin is different.
Yayin is different, but yayin is able to absorb. The bread is able to
absorb. No, but the point here is that's not the. You're saying okay. What you're saying is that there we see that gives off into a tam into ataruvas. But what I'm saying is different. Before it gets into the bread, may peros is zeh ba'alma. Wine is not zeh ba'alma. So your chiluk doesn't work unless you're telling me something else, Sender. Unless you're saying that's a taruvos. Unless you're saying that there it's different because of taruvos. But the to be mechalik to ask from the fact that it gives off time into the bread, that's not a kasha at all because that's yayin and yayin. There's a gzeres hakosel of tirosh v'yitzar that's an exception to the rule.
But I'm saying that the what's the question? The question is how are vegetables able to give time to the soup? So we say because you heat it up.
Right. Correct.
And similarly with the.
Let's say better. I'll let you finish. Don't worry. I'm not cutting you off. When it comes to the vegetables, let's say better. You're cooking up the vegetables, and therefore, when it comes to those cooked fruits, let's talk about fruits mamish. Cooked fruits, then we consider may peros not zeya ba'alma. Correct. Now continue. When it comes to cooked fruits, it's not zeya ba'alma. Go ahead.
Let's say I have just the mashka coming out of the food.
Right.
And so we say that because it was always cold, so the time of the food didn't enter the.
It's not significant.
So similarly, I would tell you that the time of the yayin when it's cold isn't able to enter the bread. Why is the time of the yayin able to enter the bread?
So you're asking a separate kasha. You're asking, this has nothing to do with what we said to be Miashev Tosis.
No,
Sender's asking a separate question.
I'm saying, it seems clear from the Gemara of Tam Gikar that the Rosh isn't going to tell you that it has to do with whether it's hot or not. But I don't know anymore.
Okay, so you're right. I hear now what you're trying to ask, but then there's a question you have to ask before the question. And that is, how does Tam Gikar work according to the Rosh? Okay, that's a fair ha'ara.
The Rosh didn't say when you take bread and dip it in orange juice. You said when you cook orange.
Right.
I mean, I don't know why.
But that's his question. His question is, what's the difference? So you're trying to slug up the answer, but it could very well be. So I want to tell you something that's even more simple. Most Rishonim, and if I'm not mistaken, this you have to be my, and I didn't get a chance because yesterday was Tisha B'Av. Most Rishonim, if I'm not mistaken, even the Rosh, holds a Tam Kikar is not Daraisa. So that will also answer your question as well. So many, many answer Tosis' question by saying, Eina Chanami. So again, everybody gets the Rosh Hashanah's Teretz. I wanted to level an objection to the Rosh Hashanah's Teretz. Okay, fine. But now you took me down that road. Many Rishonim hold Tam Kikar is not Daraisa. Rashi, on Daf Tzadi Ches in Shabbos, holds a Tam Kikar is not Daraisa. I put on the Maariv and Klamos. Tosis, it happens to be that Tosis is asking Al Pishi Tosa. Tosis in Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Zayin, holds that Tam Kikar is Daraisa. But most Rishonim hold the Tam Kikar is not, according to Halacha, is not Daraisa. If that's so, Im Kenim Advarim, so then Tosis' question only starts Al Pishi Tosa. Tosis' question only starts according to his Shita, that Tosis assumes Tam Kikar Daraisa. At the end of the day, you know, this is one of those cases that every Rishon is going to weigh in, and it's a massive sugya, so yeah, you'll decide whether I'm right or wrong, what the Rov Rishonim hold, whether Tam Kikar is Daraisa or not. But either way, that is a basic mahalach that many use to point out. Now, what do I mean, Tam Kikar is not Daraisa? Let me explain. Either is a Pasuk of Mishras, So many say, the Rambam holds this way, many hold this way, that when Tam Ki Iker is Daraisa, that's only when you have a Kezayis Bechtei Achilas Pras. If you have a Kezayis Bechtei Achilas Pras inside the Taruvos, then it's Daraisa. So then we say, what does that mean? That means that let's say you drop a Kezayis worth of pig meat into a soup. So then in such a case, if there's a Kezayis of pig meat, so then the entire soup is considered an Iser Daraisa to Ephraim. But what happens if you drop in, you drop only a tiny drop in? So then in such a case, then Tam Ki Iker is not Daraisa. So the Rambam and others hold that Tam Ki Iker is Daraisa. By the way, let me give you a Mara Makom. I have a double kavana in giving you this Mara Makom. The Sefer Dvar Shmuel on Pesachim is an absolutely fantastic Sefer. He lists all the Rishonim and Achronim that get involved with this. Why am I giving this Mara Makom? First time on our sugya. And also Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan next year is learning Pesachim. So this, and it's not easy to find what's called Lomdash Svarim on Maseches Pesachim. So this is a fellow in the Mir who passed away very, very young. And it was printed posthumously. He learned in the Mir. He has great Mar Makom. It's very succinct on the entire Maseches. So for those of you who are learning Pesachim next year, I highly recommend this Sefer. It's really, really well done. He gets straight to the point. It's not long-winded, and he gives you excellent Mar Makomos, and he gets to the core nekuda of the sugya. It doesn't develop, so that's why you have Rabbeim. That's why you need Hasmada for. But he gives you all of the necessary Mar Makomos. It's absolutely fantastic. So he goes through all the, I don't even remember, all the Shalos Tshuvas that discuss whether Tam Ki Iker is Daraisa or not. Over here, to be Miyashiv Tosis's kasha. So take a look at the... I'll leave it
there.
So Tosis's question falls away. The Minat Torah Einachanami. Minat Torah Zeya Ba'alma. But Tam Ki Iker Midrabanan, you would come out that you'd have to be Machmir. In Yisurim, you have to be Machmir. Minat Torah, we're not Machmir. So it goes like this. May peros zeh ba'alma unless it has exais bechtei achilas pras. So the tam ki ikar angle doesn't work according to this group of rishonim. Now there is a so far we gave two mahalchim to miyashiv Tosfos' question. First mahalich was the Rashash, and if I'm not mistaken, where Brown Spiegel had said from the Rush. However you understand the Rush, we see that there's no tam when it comes to a pri, which requires Hezber. What exactly does that mean? That was teretz number one. We're going to come back to that teretz. Teretz number two is to say that Tam Ki Iker is only Midrabanan. The Chavis Das, a very important sefer that you should all know. The Chavis Das is the Nesivas HaMishpat, who was a prolific writer. The person we call the Nesivas, he was a prolific writer. He has Lamda Shesvarim on every Mikzoa in Torah. He also has a Haggadah. He wrote like crazy. Amazing how much the Nesivas produced and how much is quoted. The Nesivas, in his Perish on Shulchan Aruch, it's in the back of every Shulchan Aruch, is a sefer called Chavis Das. So in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, the Chavis Das has a spin off of the Teretz of Teretz number two, much more nuanced. The Chavis Das suggests the following. Oh, well, let me bring you a raya. Why many Rishonim hold that Tam Ki Iker is going to be only Midrabban, not Minator, and this sets us up for the Chavis Das. The Gemara in Chulin, I believe it's on Kuf Yudalid on the Beis.
Why wouldn't Midrabban have a desire?
Just a second, I have to find this. I can't do two things at once when I'm trying to find the Gemara. Kuf Yudalid or Kuf Dalid? Just a second. You know what? Now I could listen. While I'm just looking for something on the page, I could listen. Go ahead.
Why wouldn't Meperot have a Kezayis?
Bepashtus, when we're talking about Meperot, we're talking about something that was just squeezed into Kuf Yud Beis. We're talking about something that was squeezed into a Taruvus. We're not talking about... We're talking about a little bit of mouth.
You're saying Meperot.
Right.
Right.
So what we're talking?
Orange juice, or?
So you're asking the most basic question, and that is that. No, it's not a kizayis bechtei achilas pras. It's a very small amount. The amount of juice that comes out vis-a-vis the pri is a small amount. That's not tam ki iker minatar. So then you need a very, very large amount from the actual Issa, from the actual pre. In the Gemara in Chulin on Kuf Yubeis Amibes, the Gemara there learns out from a pasuk of Hatmeim to tell us that the things that are tame, let's say when we talk about basar treifa there, the Gemara is discussing, the things that are tame include not only the basar treifa itself, but even its gravy. So if it includes even its gravy, so then that halacha that says that basar treifa could be metame, not only the basar itself, but its gravy as well, that we learn out from the pasuk hatmeim. Rashi, that I made reference to, Rashi on Tzadiches, that understands that tam kikar is only midrabanan, is not minatora, Rashi bases himself from this pasuk. And Rashi says, we see that tam kikar is not minatora, because why do we need this? Because there's a kos of hatmeim. Tosas lishitaso, on kuf yud beis amibes, starts going tumbersault. Why do I need hatmeim if tam kikar is doraisa? Okay. Comes along the Chavis Das, and he introduces a middle ground. The Chavis Das in Kuf Hei, Sifkot and Beis, suggests that there are times that Tam Kikar is Daraisa, and then there are times that Tam Kikar is only Midrabanan. And with this, he answers Tosus's Kasha. For those who are ambitious, you could take a look at the Chavis Das himself, Kuf Hei, Sifkot and Beis, that the Chavis Das develops that there are times that Tam Kikar is Daraisa, and there are times that it's Darabanan. He says that this, and now let's get back to Brachos, that's Lamed Ches. Says the Chavis Das, the machlokis that we have between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua is Gufa arguing whether by Truma we say Tam Kikar. Do we say Tam Kikar when it comes to Truma? So the Chavis Das says like this, Rabbi Yoshua is of the opinion that we don't say Tam Kikar. And he also argues that that Tana on Kuf Yud Beis Amibes says that we don't apply Tam Kikar across the board. In other words, at the end of the day, Tam Kikar is the Xeris HaKosav when it came to Nazir. How far do you extend the Xeris HaKosav of Nazir? So when you do the second parak of Psachim, that will become a very, very, very big question. And as like the Gedolei Achronim would say, "V'rak mar makom ani lach lecha." I'm just giving you mar mekomos. So when you get to that sugya, we're gravitating a little bit far afield. But just to show you that it's not so pashut that you apply tam kikar across the board. The Chavis Das himself, Gufa, says that the machlokis hatanoim that we quote on Daf Lamed Ches from the Mishnayos and Trumas is itself a reflection of this machlokis of how far we affect Tam Kikar. And therefore, the Chavis Das says, Tosfos is 100% right. The Mashke Ba'alma for sure, Zeya Ba'alma should for sure be Tam Kikar. But Gufa, the machlokis between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, is Gufa revolving around this issue. And that is whether Tam Kikar is applied to Trumos as well or not. And the Gemara is going like this. The Gemara is saying, and this requires Yoser Beyer than we're going to give right now, but the Gemara is actually equating Hilchas Trumas to Brachos. I'm adding to the Chavis Das. And that is that we put Trumas and Brachos together, and once we see that in Trumas we paskin that we don't say Tam Kikar, so too we invoke the rule Zeya Ba'alma, Vamevin Yavin, that there are already precursors to this from the previous sugyas. In the previous sugyas we've seen that we're medame the halachos of Truma and Orla and so on, and the Chavis Das plays with both Truma and Orla over here in Hilchas Brachos, that we don't look at Hilchas Isurim Yoredeya, that for Yoredeya Einachanami Tam Kikar we're choshesh. But when it comes to brachos, we don't look at the sugya of Tam Kikar. And then Gufa becomes the machlokes. This Chavis Das is very, very compelling because we've already seen, for our purposes, in Hilchos Brachos, we've seen that there is Ashva from Truma and Arla. Now the Talmidim need to tie the loose ends over here. You got to look at this Chavis Das and tell me if it works or it doesn't work at the end. But we all know that Truma and Arla is the barometer. We've never found in Hilchos Brachos, Ahashva Tesa Veheter.
But rather we go to Truma and Arla. So therefore, even though there is a halach in regards to Tam Ki Ikar, Tosas may be right. Tam Ki Ikar might be Doraisa. But Rabbi Yoshua holds that doesn't apply to Trumas. And therefore, Trumos is going to affect the halacha of Bracha. If I could wax poetic for a moment, we're at the end of the Zman. So just to think out loud with you for a moment, it could very well be, Ellie enjoys Rav Rosenzweig's Sheer, so I was offered to be in Rav Rosenzweig's call. This would be a moment that Rav Rosenzweig would stop for an hour and begin to be ma'arich of why brachos and trumos are connected to each other. What is it about brachos and trumos? So it makes a lot of sense when you think about it, why it would make more sense for us to go to the halachos of trumos in terms of brachos as opposed to Isser V'Heter. Isser V'Heter is that you're not supposed to imbibe a certain type of poison. Remember that? We discussed from Meshech Chachma that Isurei Doraisa is some type of spiritual poison. However, when it comes to bracha, you don't look at Isser V'Heter. When it comes to bracha, what we're focusing on is the Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly what Trumos also is, right? Truma is when it has a certain state, you need to be Moda HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there are two types of Hodah. See, this is a beauty over here that we have. Sender's a Talmud of Ilson, Ellie's a Talmud from this at a distance from Rosenzweig. Ilson would never say such a thing. But that's so we take from all of our Rebbeim. So the Truma is a Hodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the physical sense that you show that you're Moda HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bracha is a Hodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Hodah in the sense not physically but saying bepeh, and we spoke about it already in the beginning of the Zman, about what the significance of the bracha of Hodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, possibly being ma'alah the nitzotz of Kedusha in the pre. But it's not necessarily focusing on the cheftza shel Isur itself. It's a totally different type of thing. It's not only the identity, whether there's a little bit of poison over here. The question is the identity of the pre vis-a-vis Hodah. And Trumas and Maestros are that idea of Hodah. I think that actually works. What the Chavis Das for sure doesn't say any of this, but everything is for sure. Everything in Torah is connected. Someone who believes Machshava is in one world and Halacha is in the other world and they're not supposed to meet are people who, I think they're missing something basic. From what I recall, there's one God who gave one Torah to one Moshe Rabbeinu. So they've got to be connected, unless you believe, Chas v'Chalila, something against one of the Ani Mammons. So these ideas are connected, and maybe, so the, a lot of the things, what's very beautiful now is that a lot of the things that we've discussed from the beginning of the Zman, Be'ezer Hashem, come together, and this is what the idea that emerges from the Chavis Das. The Brisker Rav has a different look at the whole Tosos, and the Brisker Rav says, you can't understand the Tosos literally. He says, to say what Tosos says literally, he says, doesn't make any sense. Take a look, I think we photocopied it. By the way, earlier the Brisker Rav makes reference to the idea that I said before about Tam Ki Ikar Doraisa versus Derabonan, and he says, take a look, this is in the notes in Menachos, Hatosis b'sachim nishru b'tzarachiyun al hod amrin diyotzim min haperi havizeh ba'alma. V'atam ki ikur d'oraisa ayin sham. So what you and I thought was a great question, the Brisker Rav thinks is a ridiculous question, pshuto kimashmo. And he asks something, I think, deep down, Sender, what was bothering you, is partly what was bothering the Brisker Rav as well. V'tzarachiyun. D'ahacha lo havishum taru v'stam. Ela da yotze min apri huzeya. Vimken gama tamutur me'achar shuzeya ba'alma. The Brisker Rav asks like this. He says, you have one gzeres hakosuv that says tam ki ikar. Fine. But then you have, this is a classic Brisker way of looking at the diyun. Then you have Chazal coming along and saying, but it's only zeya ba'alma. What's Tam Ki Ikar say? Tam Ki Ikar says, look at his lashon. You have a ta'aruvos of tam. If you have a mixture, if you have wine that's going into bread, then the wine becomes identified with the bread if it gives off tam. That's what Tam Kikar is. If you have a mixture, that's what you do. However, what happens if you don't have a mixture? What happens if Chazal already told you it's not halachically significant? When's it halachically significant? When it gives tam into a taruvos. That's Mishras Anavim. But if the Torah tells you, al pi Chazal, that it's Zeya Ba'alma, so then it's telling us that you don't look at the tam. That's his question. It's a fascinating perspective. I come back, but at the end of the day, there is tam over here. But he says, but at the end of the day, it's Zeya Ba'alma. The Gemara already told us Zeya Ba'alma. So if the Gemara told Zeya Ba'alma, then the tam is not halachically significant. Yes, I could understand why someone could not understand the question as well. It could be what's bothering you is you're being practical. He asks like, no, okay, sorry. The Brisker Rav asks like this. At the end of the day, if it's Zeya Ba'alma, so then the whole subject of Tam Kikar is irrelevant. Why? There are two different things over here that we have. We have the idea of Tam Kikar. What does Tam Kikar say? Tam Kikar is a person eats a piece of bread. We want to know what he ate. Did he eat just a piece of bread or did he eat wine? The answer is that if it has a taste of wine inside, he ate wine. When you have a taruvos, it's defined by its tam. Okay, that's what Tam Kikar is. Tam Kikar is that if you have a taruvos, it's defined by its tam. What happens if you don't eat a taruvos, but you eat something that Chazal calls Zeya Ba'alma? What's happening when Chazal calls Zeya Ba'alma? What Chazal are doing is they're saying that it's not halachically significant. Tam Kikar says that if you have a taruvos, the taruvos is defined by the tam. But what if Chazal said that this is not significant? What if Chazal had said that the bread is not significant? What would happen if the bread itself was moldy? So too over here. Chazal are saying that it's not considered significant fruit. It's not considered significant juice. So this might be a smooth answer to Tosis's question. And this might also give us the omek in the Havana of the Rush. What was the Rush bothered? What did the Rush say? The Rush had said that if it's cooked, so then in such a case, then it has tam. But if it's not cooked, it doesn't have tam. So we ask, Hachush makchish. Our taste says it's not so. I've bitten into an apple, and I've drank apple juice. And I know that that's the same taste. What in the world does the Rush mean? So the answer is, according to the Brisker Rav, might be like this. That halachically it's not considered significant. That when does the Torah give halachic significance? The Torah gives it when you cook it, then it has a certain chashivus. But if it's just the sweat of a fruit, then it's not considered chashivus. And that's exactly ad kedei kach that the Brisker Rav goes so far and say, I don't understand Tosis Kasha Tam Kikar. Tam Kikar is halachically significant when you're trying to define a taruvus. So if you have halachically significant bread, so then if it gives off tam, then it has tam of the anavim, so then it's considered part of the yisur. But over here, Zakta Brisker Rav, over here you have some that's tam Zeya Ba'alma. Chazal called it Zeya Ba'alma. Why? It could very well be that vis-a-vis a fruit, doesn't have chashivas. May peros doesn't have chashivas. So if that's so, if it's Zeya Ba'alma, if it's just the sweat of the fruit, I don't care that it has tam. Because in of itself, as a cheftza, if you will, it doesn't have chashivas. As an object, it doesn't have chashivas. The mishras anavim has chashivas because it's tam that's given over into bread. This is the Brisker Rav's objection. Now let's come back to the Rush. The Rush might say like this, may peiros has significance when it has Torah dikah significance. What's Torah dikah significance? Heat. At the end of the day, what's our biggest kula? A woman calls us up all the time, maybe more men should call, and say, I was washing the dishes, and what happened was, I was washing the dishes, and I realized that I mixed the meat cutlery with the milk cutlery. What's the first question you're supposed to ask? Rabbinics 101, what's the first question you're supposed to ask? Was the water, how hot was the water?
Or if you want to ask in a way, more Rabbinics 101, you ask in a way that she doesn't have to try, that you don't make her crazy. So you could ask like this, were you wearing gloves? So you don't even have to ask, because the moment you start asking people, was it hot? So they don't know what hot means. Well, it was hot, it was hot for my... So you just ask whether they were wearing gloves. But if they were wearing gloves, according to almost all poskim, although it doesn't help you according to all poskim, but according to many, many poskim, if it's not hot enough that she was wearing gloves, shite, that's it, end of the ball game. It's mutter. Why? Why is it mutter? Because it's not halachically significant unless there was a certain amount of heat. So mashal ma'adon, it's quite a leap, I realize, Rav Osai, where we're going, but the same thing over here when it comes to the rush. The Rosh is saying like this, halachically it's not considered significant time unless there's a heat. So too over here. Similarly, the Brisker Rav says, the Zeya Ba'alma is not considered functionally significant. Why? Chazal said that visa, when compared to the fruit, it's not considered significant. However, if Chazal say you got a significant mamashus, you got a piece of bread, and then we have a chidush of Mishras Anavim, so then it works. This is a pshat. I think Simcha pointed out to me that Rabbi Willig was mechaving to this Brisker Rav, right? In Mordechai, it seemed that one of my rabbeim, Rabbi Willig Shlita, was mechaving to this. That he writes, "V'afal pishem tzias yesh yoser tam b'mei peros kivin she'ein taruvas mayim mikol makom kivin shehu guf ha'pri b'tzura shoneh." Since it comes from the pri in different surah, v'lo davar acher ha'mekabel tam ha'pri lo amrinan tam ki'ikur. He quotes the Stipler as saying this idea. All right, we'll see what. But I think the Brisker Rav Kamat says this idea. Rabbi Willig's writings is very dense. Sometimes not. So I think that's what he's saying. Okay. The truth is, this Brisker Rav is really geschmack, because he really gives us a havana to the rush that maybe we never had. That you don't have to understand the rush in mitzvah. You understand the rush in some type of halachic category. That the rush is saying that's not halachically significant as time. Maybe this is the pshat in the rush. Let's go back and let's read it in the words of the rush. Maybe it works very, very well. The rush is saying like this: the lo dam in may peros tamin zeb alma lefi shemashke ein lo tam pri. The mashke doesn't have the tam of the pri. So it's a little dachuk. It's a little dachuk. Shein lo tam ha-pri. It's a little dachuk in the rush. Ve'ev she'shem bishol ha-pri v'nichnes tam ha-peres b'mayim v'varech aleim bori pri eitz. It's not muchruch. This pshat is not muchruch in the rush. You could read it in the rush, but it's not muchruch. And at the end of the day, we're going to see the stipler is bothered. Everybody knows it's not true. You bite into an apple and you taste apple juice. There is the tam. It's a similar tam. So stipler tries to, he's going to do somersaults to try to be miyashi. But the yisod of the Brisker Rav is really gishmak. The yisod of the Brisker Rav is to say that it, again, I'm really happy that I'm learning this with you, because when I read it myself, I didn't understand the omek. I think now I'm being masbir better to you than I was masbir to myself. And that is that the Brisker Rav is asking beautifully. It's not considered halachically significant if it's Zeya Ba'alma. Mishras says that if you have a mamashos and it gives time, then it's halachically significant. But if Chazal already said it's Zeya Ba'alma, so then it's going to be fundamentally different. Yes, send it.
According to the Brisker Rav, is Zeya Ba'alma worse than water?
Maybe. Yesh Lodim. Yesh Lodim. Well, maybe. Let's see his Hemshech. Let's see his Hemshech. That might help you in terms of his Hemshech. Yes. So that's tomorrow. That's Rav Nevin Sal Lishitaso in four different places in Ilchas Tumah. The Rama Ravi Lishitaso, and then he brings it to Halacha Lemaisa. We're going to get that tomorrow. So it's one of the coolest Rav Nevin Sal moves that. And Mamish, she rips up in Tumah Tahara back and forth, and then he puts it in the bottom of his Mishnah Berurah in one line. It's great. All right, now you're going to appreciate more. Once we build it up this way, in terms of Tumah Tahara, we'll get there, Be'ezer Hashem. That question could be asked. Okay. See, that's the... Yeah. That's the difference between us tiny people and Rav Nevin Sal. Us tiny people, if we have one small nice idea, we make a whole shiur out of it. Rav Nevin Sal says it in one sentence what some people would take five shiurim to develop. Okay, let's take a look now at what the Brisker Rav's Mahalach. V'nira, the Kavanas HaTosis hi, l'fi maidim avur hacha, de'ika iser miyuchad al tam le'inyin de'lo batal, v'lo galzeh l'shitas tosis. L'fi zeh Kavanas HaTosis, so he's bothered at the end of the day, how can you equate Zeya Ba'alma with tam ki'ikar? L'fi zeh Kavanas HaTosis, de'lahavi oser iser hamei peros, mishum da'ave yotze min apri de'oser kemotzir. V'afte loshen tam ki'ikar eino kol kach mevur l'zeh. Says the Brisker Rav, and this is why it appears in Bechoros and Av Zayin, this is the sugya, Hayotze mina asar asar. The sugya of Yotze mina asar asar means that whatever comes out of an Isser, even if it's not the actual property of the Isser, it's also asar. Avol zehu bir divrei Tosfos. De'ein kavan asar shat taruvas ta'asim lehavi zeh lama, kim de lehavi asar mishum de'ein bo tam apri, ve lehavi asar mishum yotze mina apri. He claims that tam kicker is not, Tosfos doesn't mean what he says. Tam kicker can't be appropriate here. But he claims that the question over here is Hayotze min ha'asr asr. I don't know, Rabbi Osai. At the end of the day, Taisus used the word Tam Kikar min ha'tera. So the Brisker Rav is so convinced that this has nothing to do with Tam Kikar, he says it's based, it's really what I'm saying Shira on Bechoros Daf Zayin, says the Brisker Rav. This, of course, is just the writings of the Brisker Rav Shirim. So he says it must be based on the rule of Yotze min ha'asr asr. Derech Agav, I just want to share with you it's already past the 45, well past the 45 minute mark, so I have to give you kiflaim of stories, right? So they say that the Nesivis met the Ktsos, and the Nesivis complained to the Ktsos. He says to him, tell me really, who's a bigger Talmud Chacham, me or you? So the Ktsos says, I'm not sure. So he says, if you're not sure, so why is it that your sefer Ktos HaChoshen is selling so much better than mine? He says, your sefer is selling. The truth is, it could be the Nesivis was outselling the Ktos because he had written many, many others for him. And this was before that they both ended up on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch and the Choshen Mishpah. Both nowadays, there's no competition because they're both there. But originally, the Ktos was outselling the Nesivis. So the Ktos said to him, tell me, how do you write? So the Nesivis says, what do you mean, how do I write? I learn up the sugya and I write. And he said to him, what do you do the next day? He says, the next day I continue. I go on to the next sugya and I write more. So Ktsos says, no, that's not how I write. What I do is, I write on the sugya, and then the next day, I spend most of my time actually editing what I had written the day before. He says, you're so prolific, said the Nesivis, you're so prolific that you just keep on writing. He says, so people, it seems that the Ktsos was giving him constructive criticism. People don't like to read your writing as much because you haven't edited enough. So I go back and I edit more. Hence, my sefer has more acclaim, and people enjoy reading more my sefer than does yours. That's the legend. At the end of the day, the Nesivis won the game, though, because despite the fact that Nesivis edited less, in the end, he's in the Shulchan Aruch, and we have him on everything in Kol HaTorah Kula. But we need both. But in the end, the Nesivis wrote much more than the Ktsos. On the other hand, all the Ktsos' writings are golden. We have the Ktsos, he wrote the Shev Shmaitza, right? And we have his Sefer Ktsos HaChoshim, but he says that he edited a lot more. He claims to Nesivis that he edited a lot more. There's another beautiful story that Nesivis and Rabbi Kiva Eger were very close. And they went into town together, and they saw in those days, it's amazing the Kfo Talmid HaChacham that people had. So that in a certain way doesn't exist today. Now it's more of a herd mentality, but in those days they really, really had love. I don't know if I really feel the love for Gedolei Torah today. Everybody wants to take a picture, everybody, but the chavivus for Talmidei Chacham, I don't know if that exists. So in those days what would happen would be is they used to when the Talmid Chacham used to come to town, Gedolei Torah used to visit the town, they used to unhitch the horses, and the townsfolk used to be the horses to bring in the Gedolei Torah. Would we do that? So legend has it that the Nesivis and Rabbi Kiva Eger were traveling together, and when they unhitched the horses, so Rabbi Kiva Eger looked out the window and saw they were unhitching the horses, so he got out to pull the Nesivis in. And it must have been that they were sitting on opposite sides of the cart, but both of them didn't realize that the other had gone out. So in the end, the Nesivus and Rabbi Akiva Eger and all the townspeople pulled in the empty cart. That's a legend that they have. By the way, tomorrow I have to tell you shir on a story of Yotze Min HaAser. That's a whole shir. There's a story about Yotze Min HaAser also with the Brisker Rav and Reb Chaim, but that I have to. That's going to take too long. Now, this is the Brisker Rav's Mahalach. I don't know. I'm not convinced. At the end of the day, Tosa says it. But what it did do, it gave us a little bit of insight. Whether it's right or wrong, it does give us insight in terms of understanding the difference between Zeya Ba'alma and Tam Ki'ikr. Let's just finish off where the stipler tries to give a Mahalach. Wow, it's late. Rabosa, should we stop here and continue tomorrow from this? It's already 3-1. No, we should continue? We'll break the rules anyhow. Okay, that's the second to last day of the Zman, so we'll break the rules at lunchtime. Tov. Let's take a look. The stipler gives a Mahalach over here. Stipler says like this. Yeah, he first of all, Stipler goes back to the first teretz of Rosh Hashanah. He says that's ridiculous. Let's go back a little. Tiritz Kushias Hatosis. The first answer that we had given, what about Tam Kikr Min HaTorah? So what was the teretz? The teretz of Tam Kikr Min HaTorah was that over here there's no tam. That was what the Rosh Hashanah wanted to say, and Luchura, that's what the Rosh says. So he says Lutaritz Kushias Hatosis Kasser Rosh Hashanah Shemash Kein Lo Tam Pri Ayin Shem. You have it there in your photocopy in the Stipler? Anybody? Second page. In my edition, it starts Ulataritz. It starts as a separate paragraph by you as well? Okay. Ulataritz. There's more time of the pre in the juice itself than in the fruit itself. So what are we going to do? How are we going to answer Tosis Kasha? So he has a long-winded, not too long-winded, don't worry. We'll stay there together. He has an interesting teretz to the Kasha. Vasher nir eliyashe l'shitas hasovim delokin al tam ki ikr v'ilu al amashken yotzen eperes iser ein lokin v'be'emes kasha tuva b'hodam rin zeh ba'almehi. Says the stipler, what's nice about this piece is the stipler gets to what's been bothering all of us. And that is, at the end of the day, is it really Zeya Ba'alma? Is Mei Pero Zeya Ba'alma? It's not really Zeya Ba'alma. V'lo Yehei Ela Mayim. Mikol Mokom Hayotzim Min HaYisr V'kol Hayotzim Min HaYisr L'shitas Tosis V'chulin Lo Kala K'mo Al Yisr Atzmo V'lo Malo Yilko Ha'osa Mashkin Eschatim Midin Yotzim Min HaYisr. So you know what the stipler does? He basically goes with what the Brisker Rav had said. In what Tosis's kasha is, and he asks, fine, may peros zeya ba'alma, but what about the rule of yotze min ha'aser aser? Okay, so you with me? The stipler now asks, how could you say may peros zeya ba'alma? What about the rule yotze min ha'aser aser, as the Gemara in Bechoros on Dav Zayin on the Beis says? By the way, you know the Gemara goes so far to ask if we say yotze min ha'aser is aser, so how could it be that you could even drink milk? It's not it's the behemah is aser. So Gemara goes so far as to say eretz zavas chalav udvash. It's exeris hakasav. Isn't that fascinating? What? And honey also, there's a discussion. The discussion in the Rishonim about that. That's an act sugi and bechoros on Dav Zayin. But I'm off tangent. I don't want to spend too much time in it. Now, I might be oversimplifying also, but so let's go back. But take a look at the Gemara and Bechoros and Dav Zayin on base. Vinira continues the stipple. This din of Yotzim and Aser is very, very broad. You'll see tomorrow's shir and story will show how broad the sugi of Yotzim and Aser goes. Vinira the din of Yotzim and Aser Aser eino ela kisha adover she yotze mishave v'nasim minho iser. If you're going to notice, Rabosai, that this is the stipler l'shitasa. The stipler is, which we said you didn't even need to say at all earlier in the first over an hour ago. What we said in the sugya, but he says like this: what's yotze min aser aser? Kigom beitzas treifa she beitza nishave v'nisgadla me'ofa iser. You know when you say yotze min aser aser, when what appeared outside of the Yisr, from the Yisr, actually grew in the Yisr. Avalamashal hagarin shebepri. He's mechadish something absolutely fascinating. The seed of the fruit, lo nisgadol v'nishavim in apri. Elagam apri gam hagarin nisgadol v'nishavim in ilan shetzamcho bo. Shekachu tivo shel ilan latzmiach apri v'hagarin shelo. Avalo shapri matzmiachu megadol hagarin shebo. What is the source of the seed? Is the source of the seed the fruit, or is the source of the seed the tree? Says the Stipler, he thinks Davar Pashut, that the source of the seed is the tree itself. And he claims, therefore, you don't say Yotze Mina Asur Asur on the seed itself. The juice doesn't produce the fruit. Ela ila matzmiach gamas hapri gamas hamashkin shebo. Ukemoshin is bayer. And I think what he means when he says commotion is bayer, like he had said, particularly according to the man d'amar who holds that the may mashke is mifka pocket. Ulechein ein bahani mashke din ma yotze min aser aser. Shalom achmas hapri. Umikoach hapri nishavu. When do we say yotze min aser aser? That's when it's something that grew as a product of the Isser itself, then a Yotze from that Isser is also Asser. However, if it's not something that grew mamish from the Isser itself, so then in such a case, then it's considered Mutter. And he says, Ukahai Gavna, skipping the parentheses, Ashkan Linyan Tuba, Leman Domer Mashkin Mifke Pocket. Mifkat Pakid says that the May Peros is not Mitame. So he's building off of the idea that he said earlier within May Peros, Lania's Daiti. The Stipler had earlier said that, especially if you go according to Manomar Mifkat Pakid, so then in such a case, then you say, then the juice is not considered actually part, and that's how he's going to answer the difficulty that we had said before, that we had spoken about before, why you need the klal me perozeh ba'alma v'amei v'nyavin. So he says, the same thing we'll explain over here, why we don't say yotze min asur, asur. The reason why we don't say yotze min asur, asur, is the only time we say yotze min asur is if it grew actually as part of the isur itself. But if its makar is the tree, so then in such a case, it's going to be different. So Rabosai, Lushita Seinu, I find the Stipler's Chiddush a tremendous, tremendous Chiddush. The Stipler is making up something in terms of Yotze Mina Asur Asur, and it could be he's right in the Mandama of Mifkat Pocket in May Peros. Could be he's right. But to say Stam on his own, to say across the board that the May Peros is not Yotze Mina Asur because it's not considered as if something that grew within the fruit. So that's a tremendous, tremendous Chiddush. Maybe you could say it according to Ma'an Omer Mifkat Pakid, maybe you can't. But let me spell out. If you hold that the May Peros is not Mifkat Pakid, it's absorbed, so then to go so far is really difficult. It's considered part of it itself. And even if you hold that the May Peros is Mifkat Pakid, which means that we consider it growing separate and apart, at the end of the day, it was still Yotze Min HaAsur. It's still something that came out of the Isur. So then, Yej Lodom. Again, we are not getting involved with Mifkat Pakid or not, based on his earlier problem. The Stipler needs to get involved with Mifkat Pakid, so then he uses it to answer the question of Yotze Min HaAsur, Asur as well. For us, what would we say in regards to May Peros, let's say according to Rashi? May Peros is Zeya Ba'alma. It's not considered the pre itself. That's Gufa the Xeris HaKasa. That's not considered the pre itself. How are we going to get out of Yotze Mina Asur Asur? So I'll tell you what I think is the answer to the question. I think the answer to the question is that's Gufa what Chazal are being Mechadesh when they say May Peros is Zeya Ba'alma. When they say May Peros is Zeya Ba'alma, it's not considered halachically significant. That's my read of the situation over here. It's not considered halachic. It's Zeya Ba'alma. It's not the pre, and it's not mashke at all. Aye, there is halachic mashke. Zeisim and Anovim are halachic mashke. But the Torah doesn't view May Peros halachic mashke. That sets us up for for tomorrow's stipler, for tomorrow's chazanish, where the chazanish says that maybe today it's going to be different. Maybe today, May Peros is not as the time of Chazal. But now we're learning Gemara Rashi Tosos. You want to know in my heart of hearts what I think the answer to the question is? It's not considered halachically significant because it's Zeh Ba'alma. That's what I think is the answer to the question. It's not considered Zeh Ba'alma. The stipler Al Pishi Toso comes along with the idea and says it grew from the tree. Al Pishi Tasenu, that the way we were masber before, that it's not the pre, I think therefore it's considered Zeh Ba'alma. The Briska Rav claims that's what Tosfos was bothered by, that you should still say Yotzim and Asar Asar. I hear the Kasha, but if I was my back was pushed to the wall, I would say it's not considered enough of halachically significant to even be called Hayotzim min Asar Asur. That's how, if I was forced to answer the question, if I didn't have any better answer, that's what I would do. But I would not go in the stipler's direction to say that it's considered as if it's entirely removed from the fruit. No, it's not entirely removed from the fruit. But here it is, the Chazal Mechadish Zeh Ba'alma. Now, I don't think it's relevant to most juices today, as the Chazanish will develop. Because most juices today, it's hard to imagine to call it that Zeh Ba'alma. But in the time of Chazal, it could very well be that in such a case it was considered Zeh Ba'alma. Okay, we'll have to pick up Ezra Hashem.